Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
I will be going to Matthew chapter 8 this morning. Amen. And this morning, the title I want to talk to you about is A Key to Great Faith. Amen. A Key to Great Faith. Appreciate your excitement there. How many would like to have great faith? You know, I want to just share a key about that this morning. And we're going to start, like I said, in Matthew chapter 8. Praise God. And let's begin. Let's just start with verse number 5. You ready? All right. Bible says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there met him a centurion." That's a military man who's over 100 soldiers, "beseeching him and saying, 'Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy or paralyzed, grievously tormented.' And Jesus said unto him, 'I will come and heal him.'" Well, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? "And the centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to my servant, come, and he comes, I say to this man, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Now, this could have been just a little bit of offensive because he's telling his disciples this, right? The men who live with him, the men who travel with him, he's telling them, "Guys, I haven't seen any faith like this from you or anybody in Israel." How many know if you don't want to know the truth, stay away from Jesus, right? All right, so he just... Now, you know, as far as I know, I've got a pretty good memory about Scripture. Amen. I may not remember if I got my running shoes on, Pastor Chuck, but I got a pretty good memory about Scripture. I can't think of but one other person that Jesus said had great faith, and she wasn't from Israel either. It was a Syrophoenician woman. But I want to talk to you about how this... This is a man, see. Sometimes we think, I guess I just have to listen to hours upon hours and just read, 5 hours a day to have great faith. Well, it's not going to hurt you, but no. There's some things that if you get a hold of, it'll cause your faith to fail. And this man evidently had something in his life that caused his faith to take off. And I want to know what it is, don't you? I want to know. Well, I believe it's this. I believe the key is where he said, "You don't have to come under my roof, but just speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I'm a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." I believe the key to this man's great faith. I'm just jumping right in here. Are you ready?
Yep.
It's no, "Hey, how you doing? Good morning." We're going for it, all right? I believe the key to this man's great faith is the fact that he understood authority and how it worked. I do. He was a military man. And he explained to Jesus why he said, "You don't have to come, you just speak the word." See, he understood the chain of command because that's the way he lived his life. Every day he's out there telling these 100 soldiers what to do, but he's not telling them what he wants them to do. He's telling them what his superiors want them to do. If there ever came, remember he said, "I'm under authority." So if there ever came a day where he decided to just give his own word out, how many know that's the end of authority? His authority is only good as long as he's under authority. See, so he can't just go out and tell these 100 soldiers that, you know, hey, guys, take the rest of the week off. He can't do that. He has to hear that word himself first, right? When he hears that word from a higher authority, well, then he could go tell these soldiers, go take the rest of the week off, and it'd be okay. But unless he hears from somebody else, he can't do that. He's under authority. So he understood something. See, he understood this. Jesus said himself, he said, the words that I speak, I don't speak my own words, but I speak the words the Father's given me to speak. In other words, what he's saying is, Jesus was saying, I don't do things on my own authority or by my own word. I say and do what I'm told to say and do. And this centurion, evidently, he recognized that about Jesus, that Jesus was, a man with authority. And that if you have authority, you don't have to do a lot of things but speak. Isn't that right? See, I've used this illustration time and time again, but it really makes it plain to me, you know, as the pastor of the church, I have authority here. And so, you know, if I just decide to change the order of the service, we could do that. Now, if I just decided this morning, if I would have decided this morning, you know, I just decided I don't want praise and worship this morning. I'm going to just preach all day long, all service long. I don't have to come in and sabotage the equipment. I don't have to hide the drumsticks. I don't have to, you know, break the guitar strings, pull the cords, jerk them out. I don't have to do all that. All I got to do is give a word. See, that's because of authority. You don't have authority, you can't do that. Now, if somebody comes off the street and comes to Jill and says, don't do praise and worship, how many know she's not going to pay attention to them? They don't have authority. As much as we love you, if one of you tell her that, I doubt she's going to listen to you. Because you don't have the authority to do that. What am I making? The point I'm making is this centurion, because he understood authority, he understood all Jesus had to do was just speak the word. That's all he had to do. Jesus had authority to do that. And if Jesus and he understood Jesus was here on a mission, praise God. He was under his Father's command. And he was just doing, remember he said, what I do because I see my Father do it, see. In other words, what I'm doing because of the Father. So he's not just out here just doing things on his own. He's doing things based on what the commands he's received, see. And so this centurion realizes, Jesus, all you have to do is give the word. You don't even have to come. You don't have to show up. Just give the word and my servant will be healed. Well, I want you to know something, folks. We've been given authority. Years ago, I'll never forget this, and I'm not picking on this person, this man, this minister. I respect this minister, but I just happen to believe that he's wrong based on what the Bible says. But several years ago, I heard this minister say, I was listening on the radio, and I heard this, and he's an international, or maybe not international, but a national minister here in America. And he said this. He made this comment. He said, we don't have authority over the devil. That's what he said. I mean, I heard him say it. We don't have authority over the devil. And I thought, well, if we don't have authority over the devil, we're in a mess. And then, I don't know, it wasn't no time later, I saw in this article the top 10 influential preachers in America, and he was number 5. Now, that bothered me. Because here's what I thought. If he's number 5, how many people is he influencing? And he's telling them, we don't have authority over the devil. So how many of God's people are being beat up because they don't realize they have authority over the devil? Think about that. Now, he's number 5 in influence. So that is a real problem. How many know that? That's a real problem if number 5 is telling the body of Christ, we don't have authority over the devil. But now, listen, I'm not saying that just, you know, because other things that I've heard him teach, I thought he's really good at. I thought he's got anointing on his life. See, you can have anointing on your life and teach him good things, but then you could say something that's not scriptural, and we just have to spit that out. It's like Brother Hagin used to say. He said, eat the hay, spit the sticks out. Well, when that guy said that, I had to spit that out. That's not true, because here's what the Bible says. Did you know the Bible said in the beginning in Genesis chapter 1 that God gave us dominion over all the earth? Now he talks about the animals, but then he said over all the earth. So not just the animals, but the whole earth, we have dominion over it. So, and then we find out, now it's interesting when you follow this, we're not going to look at those scriptures today, but in Genesis chapter 1, when God made man, he made him in his image, and he gave him dominion. Well, after that, we find out man fell, didn't he? He sinned, right? And he evidently gave that dominion away. The reason we know that, a lot of reasons we know that, but there's one particular scripture that really just tells us that. When Jesus was on the Mount of Temptation, the devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory of them. He said, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give you all these, for it's been delivered unto me. Did y'all hear that? It's been delivered unto me. Well, who gave it to him? Well, it wasn't God, right? God didn't give. See, even Paul, the apostle, said about the devil, he said, he's the god of this world. Little g. In other words, he was given authority by Adam. When Adam sinned, he handed that authority over to the devil. But now the good thing is in Matthew chapter 28, after Jesus' resurrection, he said, all power, all authority. The King James says all power, but the word for authority, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth, therefore you go. So what did that say? Well, it tells us, all right, here's what we see. Man was given authority. Man, the devil got authority. Jesus got authority back. Well, what did he do? He got it back for us, right? How many know Jesus didn't get authority for himself? He already had authority over the devil before he ever came here. He didn't come here so God could have authority over the devil. The Godhead wasn't in trouble. How many know that? We were in trouble. And so he came and he got authority back for us. And then he gave it to us. Now, the thing of it is we're under his authority, praise God. You know, as long as we're under him, we have authority. See, even Paul said to the church at Ephesus, he's praying for him. He said, I pray that you know certain things. And one of the things he said, I pray that you know, is the exceeding greatness of his power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Now that's good, right? I said, that's good. Jesus has authority over everything, right? But here's the good part. You keep reading in chapter 2, it says, and he hath raised us up and made us sit together with Christ in those heavenly places, meaning he gave us joint seating of authority. But it's in Christ. So it's still that chain of command. It's still that chain. We have authority as long as we're under authority. Just like the centurion said, I'm a man under authority, and I have people under me. As long as we're under the authority of God, we got authority. Are you with me now? Which means that everybody under us, all things under us, have to obey us. As long as we stay in line with the one that's above us. Amen. Now, when I talk about all things, I'm going to talk about people. We don't have authority over human beings. How many know that? But we have authority over spirits. Amen. Right? Sicknesses, diseases, and all that. Everything is named. That's what the Bible says. But we don't, you know, I can't make people. If I had authority over people, I'd make everybody get saved. And we clean America up, right? Well, we don't have that kind of authority. We can pray for them that the devil backs off of them and they accept the light. Now let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Come on, you get anything this morning? This is going to be just a teaching this morning. Jeremiah chapter 1, just talking about the fact that, understanding authority, it's just a key to great faith. You got to understand some things, and this is going to come clearer as we're going to look at a few scriptures this morning, and this will become even clearer to you as we go. But I like that centurion because Jesus said, man, it says Jesus marveled. And there's only two times in the Bible it says he marveled, because of this man's faith and because of his hometown's unbelief. I always ask people, which side do you want to make him marvel on? I'll take the faith side. How about you? Now, so understand that when you understand authority, when you get a hold of authority, and when you understand how it works, it'll cause your faith to soar. And I'll show you why. Let's go here in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 9. Jeremiah 1, 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. So whose words Jeremiah got now? They're God's words, right? All right. See, I have this day set thee over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? What seest thou? He said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Now, there's a couple reasons why. One, that almond tree in those days in Israel, in ancient Israel, was the earliest one to bloom. And so it watched over all the others while they were blooming. It was way ahead of them. The second thing is you find in the Bible that when Israel was challenging who had authority, God said, everybody from all the tribes bring a rod, an almond rod is what it was, and we're going to lay it up overnight, and the one that blooms has got authority here. See, they were challenging Aaron's authority as high priest. And in the morning, Aaron's rod budded. So when he said, I see an almond rod, well, he's simply saying that God's word has authority. Amen. And it also means, because he went on to say, the Lord said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. In other words, I'm quick to do my word. Amen. One translation says, I'm watching over my word to perform it. So what I'm bringing out, I hope I can bring this out. What I'm bringing out is the fact that God's, well, what God did was he sent Jeremiah out with his words. You understand? Now, then when that centurion, he was going out with his leader's words. He said, I'm under authority and I have people under me and they do what I say. I say go, they go. I say come, they come. I say do this, they do it. But it's not because it's his word. It's because he's going out with somebody else's word. I hope you get this. See, a lot of times we think it's up to us, amen, to make the devil behave. And sometimes we don't have enough confidence in us. I don't have a whole lot of confidence in me. I don't know about you. Come on now. You say, well, you need some self-help classes. Well, maybe so. But I'd rather have some glorify God classes. I found out what man's, you know, Jesus said he already knew what was in man. You know, no, see, that's the problem, I think, a lot of times with people's faith is they think, I don't know that I got enough faith to pull this. I don't know that I could do this. I don't have confidence in me. Maybe a pastor came over and prayed. No, see, what you're not realizing is this. If you're under his authority, you have authority. See, he told Jeremiah, I put my words in your mouth and I will perform my word. Not your words, Jeremiah, my word. See, the key is to get his words in your mouth. See, when we speak what he says, we're under his authority. Amen. See, it's the key to releasing authority is just stick with what he said. He performs his word. Amen. See, see, when you get a hold of this, it causes your faith to soar that you know that when you speak to that demon, when you speak to that sickness, and you say what he said, it's not your authority you got authority, but the only reason you got authority is because it came down from a chain somewhere of command. And you realize, see what happens if the centurion, if his soldiers disobey him? Well, you know, it can go on up the ladder, doesn't it? See, well, what happens if you disobey the policeman out on the street? Well, there's others behind that. Amen. There's a chain, see? There's a chain of authority. And this is what causes great faith. When you realize when I speak and I speak his words, it's not me that's got to make it come to pass. It's not me that's got to back it. I didn't even say it. He said it. He's the one that said it. He's the one that said I'm healed. I didn't say that. I didn't make that up. He said that. So if I say what he says, then the devil's got to obey what I say. I asked the Lord this, and you know, you may think, well, I don't know if you really heard from God. Well, maybe I didn't, but I think I did. But many, many years ago, I asked the Lord, I said, what would happen if I spoke to the devil in your name and he didn't obey? He said I'd deal with it and we'd go into the millennium tomorrow. He said, I'd deal with it, and we'd go into the millennium tomorrow. In other words, what he's saying is it's not going to happen. If you speak in my name, he's going to obey. Well, I spoke in his name and he didn't obey. Well, maybe you were doing it in your name, just using his name. Now, think about what I just said there. Maybe you were doing it thinking that you had to back it. Come on now, are you with me? See, there's a big difference. You could speak in his name, but still be doing it by your own, thinking you're doing it by your own authority. When you do that, well then, nothing's going to happen. Because why? Because you're dependent on you to bring it to pass. Am I right? Amen. Come on here with me now. All right. Now, I tell you what, let's go to Matthew. I want to look at this in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14. See, you understand that. That's why, most people remember this, I think it was Acts, I can't remember what chapter, I think it might be Acts 16. Don't go there, go to Matthew 14. But in Acts 16, where the seven sons of Sceva tried to cast that demon out of that person. Remember that? Did they use the name of Jesus? Did it work? You know why? Because they weren't under his authority when they said it. See, the same thing's true when we're trying to bring things to pass ourselves. We're not really under his authority. We're dependent on our authority. In the natural, I'm speaking. But when we realize that the word we're speaking came from someplace else, and that there's somebody behind it that has the power to back it, that makes all the difference in the world. Remember those sons of Sceva? They said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out. What happened? Anybody remember? They got beat up, got their clothes ripped off of them, lost their britches over the deal. See, what happened here? Well, that spirit spoke back, didn't he? What did he say? He said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know. Now, when you dig it up in the Greek, it's pretty interesting because it says, Jesus, I know him, I recognize him, I know who he is. Well, where it says, Paul I know, it's like, Paul, I've heard about him. I've heard of Paul. In other words, yeah, I've heard of this Paul. Well, what's happening? Well, that devil realized, I don't have to obey you. You're not under, you're giving me orders and they didn't come from headquarters. Come on, are you with me now? See, you may use the general's name, but you didn't get it from the general. What would you do if you joined the army today and you're out on the base and somebody came up to you and said, General George Patton said you need to go do this? Well, you'd be stupid if you'd obey it, because General Patton's already gone on. But if it had been World War II time and somebody would have said, General Patton said, I bet you'd have snapped just like that. Amen. Anybody ever watched a movie about Patton? Sure, my uncle was in his army. He was in Patton's army. I think it was the Third Army, I think they called it. He was there at the Battle of the Bulge, the Battle of Bastogne. He was there. He talked to me about Patton. He had some authority about him. The guys would have followed him anywhere. They may not have liked him. They didn't all like him. Matter of fact, surprised me. My uncle said, I didn't like him. But he sure fought for him. I think, dear Lord, give us some leaders like that back in America today. Some of these people I wouldn't follow to the county fair. Come on, are you alive today? Amen. See, what causes great faith? Well, you know what? I tell you what, if General Patton in those days would have told you go tell them to do this, how many of you'd be going with a lot of confidence that you're going to be obeyed? Amen. You know, I think about our president. A lot of people don't like him. I happen to be a fan of his. Amen. I like people that speak like he does. I can understand where they're coming from. I don't have to wonder. But I heard years, this has been oh gosh, maybe 4 years ago, five, I heard his son, I don't remember which one it was, he's got two, right? No, he's got three. I think it may have been Junior that I heard him interviewing. And this interviewer said, now what is the greatest thing you ever learned from your father? He said, when he tells you to go get him a Coke, you better go do it. In other words, when he says something, he's not messing around. He means it. I thought, we need leaders like that. Well, anyway, back to the message. Praise God. Hallelujah. Did you find Matthew chapter 14? You know, some people don't like his roughness and all, but you know what? Listen, hey, you know, and people, we're not voting for a pastor here. And so I hear Christians, I'll just speak straight. I hear Christians, well, he's not spiritual enough. Well, and the other side is? What's your point? We ain't voting for a pastor. Sure, you don't. I'm sure you don't want your pastor doing some of the things he has done, and maybe does. I don't know, but I'd rather have somebody, you know, that I can trust and I believe is honest and speaks the truth and does what they say. Well, I just don't think he's a very good Christian. Well, so what? It's not your point to judge him. Amen, right? Well, I just think he ought to, I don't think he should be such a fighter. Well, we knew that when we voted for him. He's been a fighter most of his life. I'm glad he didn't change. It means he's not a hypocrite. All right, Matthew 14. I have more to say, but that's coming up. Praise God. That's just a little hors d'oeuvre there. Amen. Well, I do. I think to Christians, well, I can't vote for him. Why? Well, who are you going to vote for? Somebody kills babies? Who are you going to vote for? Somebody's for socialism? Don't give me this idea about socialism. I got friends, man, from socialist countries. Come on. You know all those people for socialism that say vote for me? They've never really been. When they've gone to a socialist country, they went to the hot vacation spots. They never went downtown and saw the mess. Come on. And America's just stupid enough to listen to those people? Man, don't listen to those people. I'll just tell you this right now, all right? You ready? Listen, there is only one way to prosper in the world, and that's by capitalism. That's it, period. There's no other way. It doesn't work any other way. What does that mean? Well, you either have to have a job.
Come on now.
Or you have to create your own job by your own business.
Yep.
That's it. It doesn't work any other way. Anybody tells you it works some other way, they're just foolish. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. You either have a job or you got your own business. That's the only way it works. Doesn't work any other way. You can fool young people that's never been out there. Their head full of mush, and they think that it works that way, but they don't have a clue. They've lived in mom and dad's basement all their life. They don't know. So if we go after the businesses, what do? We take away the source of jobs. We take away the source of prosperity, and then America's a third world country, and we're broke. You find Matthew chapter 14. That's good preaching. I'm telling you, man. I'm just thinking, why? How dumb are you people, man? I mean, this is the way it works. He said, well, God prospered. Yeah, but you read God's Bible. His Bible is a capitalist Bible in the sense that you go out and work, you make a living, you make something of value that somebody wants. You do something of value that somebody wants, and they pay you for it. Well, I thought they helped, they didn't, the government didn't take it away and give it. God's for us to help people and support people that need help and support. But he also said, if you can work and you don't work, then don't eat.
Right.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen.
Now, I mean, you know, listen, if you just think about it, if people just think about it, they just think there's no other way this works. This is the way it works. Okay, this is not even my message, but that's good preaching. Matthew 14, you there? We got off on that talking about authority. See, you know, if you don't know the words that you speak came from a higher power, you're not convinced of that, then you're not going to have faith in what you say, even though you say what the Bible says. See, so it's just like those sons of Sceva using the name of Jesus. Even though they used the right name, they didn't have any authority to use it. They didn't have any confidence in it. They just thought, we'd see if it works. And guess what? It didn't work. Amen. Now, all right, Matthew chapter 14. And no, I'm not apologizing for what I just said. I totally believe with all my heart. And I'm never voting for somebody that's for socialism, ever. Zero. I don't care what, whether you got an R in front of your name or a D or behind it, whatever. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to do it. I've already got one of my dear friends going to be here in December. They came from that kind of country. And the thing that bothers me when he comes over here, he says, I see the same thing happening here that I saw happen in Germany. I mean, don't be stupid. Just don't believe those lies, especially young people, because, you know, they don't know yet sometimes. Amen. Yeah, I went through the 60s and the 70s, the peace, love, and we're going to change the world. We changed it all right, but not into something better. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, Matthew, you got it? Amen. What are we talking about?
Authority.
All right. See, this is the key to great faith. Verse number 28. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come unto you on the water. See, Jesus walking on the water. Remember that story? And he said, come. Now, my Bible, come, is in red letters. What does that mean to you? Jesus said it, right? Now, how many know he has authority, right? Come, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? So we see right there, Peter didn't have great faith, did he? Jesus called it little faith. Now, what happened here? Well, here's the thing. How many know Jesus, when he said come, how many know that's a word of authority, isn't it? Peter gets out of the boat. He's acting on a word of authority, right? That's what he's doing. But when he sees the circumstances, he doubts the authority that Jesus has. And he begins to sing. See, what did the centurion say? We just read it. What did he say? Just speak the word only. What did Jesus just do? He just spoke the word only. What did the centurion say? He said, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word. My servant will be healed. Well, have you know, If the centurion, are you ready for this? If the centurion had got out on the boat, he wouldn't have sunk. Because he said, all you got to do, Jesus, is speak the word. That's it. What happened with Peter? Peter began to doubt that word come was strong enough to keep him up on the water during the midst of all this. See, he began to have doubt. See, and he, what happened? Well, see, we're talking about this. We're talking about the authority. See, he had not yet developed this revelation of authority that when Jesus said something, he wasn't just talking as a natural man. He was saying what his father said, and whatever he said, it had authority to come to pass. It would come to pass. See, if we looked up, well, I tell you what, just back up there in Matthew. Just go to Matthew chapter 8. If you'll back up in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 16, let's look at that. It says, when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils or demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word, or some translations say a word. So he just used his word, right? Why? He had authority. He didn't have to go fight the devils. He didn't have to go punch them out and beat them up. He just spoke. Well, see, this is the same way. And you understand, and the centurion understood that. He understood, I'm a military man. We move by words. We go to war by words. If the general says, we're leaving today, we're leaving today. You understand? See, you know, Pastor Chuck and I are World War II buffs. He likes the history of that. I do too. You know, I've watched a lot of that. You know, and those guys said over there before the invasion of D-Day, they said over there, you know, in that, you know, that other country, you know, that called England, you know, that other place, you know, that one place at one of the ports in England, one of the entry ports. You know what I'm talking about? How many have ever been out of the country? You got certain entry ports you come in, like here you come in Atlanta or Houston or different places. You come in Miami to come into the country. One of the places over in England, there's a sign that says, "Welcome back, America. All is forgiven." So, but, you know, they were waiting over there, and they waited, and they waited for the command, amen, to invade. So you have to wait for that command. See, so we've been given the command. We've been given the word. We don't have to wait any longer because I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, we've already been given the command. We've already been given the word. See, so they waited, and there came a day, you know, where I'm, you know, Pastor Chuck, remember this? They, you know, the meteorologists were looking at the weather and said, we can't go, and they're like, oh man, we need to go. We can't keep these troops sitting here much longer. We need to go. And then finally, this one evening, I believe it was, this meteorologist said, well, there is just a little window of clear weather. Just a window. In other words, we have a shot. It might work. It might not. It might close. If it closes, we're in trouble. Just a window. And General Eisenhower said, gave the command, let's go. He said, I don't like it, but let's do it. See, they had to wait. Even though they wanted to go, they had to wait till they had the command. Why? Because they had to have the authority to do it. We have to realize as believers, we've been given authority. Hallelujah. And when we do it in his name, see, what's that mean? In my name they shall cast out demons. Whatsoever you do it in the name. What does that mean? In his authority. Realizing it's not us. Come on, are you with me now? It's not our power that's going to bring it to pass. We don't have to sweat an ounce over it. It's his. See, that's what produces great faith when you realize it's not the success of this isn't resting on me. It's resting on the one that gave the order. See, if our boys had have failed over there, it wouldn't have been on them. They did what they were told to do. It'd been on the people that gave the order. It would have come back. You say about Harry Truman, when he was president, he had a sign on his desk that said, the buck stops here. In other words, this is the end of the line right here. If it got messed up, it stops right here. Wish we could dig some of those old politicians back up. Well, I think we did. One of them, his name's Donald Trump. Anyway, this is not a Donald Trump rally, and this is not an endorsement of Donald Trump. I just happen to like him. I could name some other politicians that I like. Not very many, but some. I like Mark's brother really well. Hallelujah. We got a good senator in Jim Toms. Amen. And there's a few others, you know, that we could. But, you know, anyway, back to the message. Praise God. It's political season. How many know that? Got to inject a little bit here. You know, we had one lady one time, you know, she was going to vote for this one. It's been years ago, come to our church. Going to vote for this one presidential candidate. And I said, why? She told me. I said, why? And I don't remember how I put it, but basically, why in the world are you voting for him? Well, I don't know. I just like the way he looks. We had to come to Jesus moment. Amen. I had to explain to her that, you know, you're not marrying this guy. Amen. And I explained to her that you got to look at the policies and what they believe, what they stand for. Make sure it lines up close as you can to the Bible, right? Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Now, I'm going to, there's another passage, we won't go to it, but let's go to John 10. But let me give you another passage as you turn to John 10. Remember Mark chapter 4 when the Jesus and his disciples got in the boat and he said, let us go to the other side? I remember that. What happened? He went in the back of the boat and took a nap. And the Bible says there was a great storm of wind rose, and the boat began to fill with water, and they were in jeopardy. They were in trouble. And they woke him and said, "Master, don't you care that we perish?" I personally think that's the phrase that ticked him off. You're laughing, but he wasn't happy. When he got up, the Bible said he rebuked the wind, the sea, and the waves, said, "Peace, be still." And he looked at them and said, "Where's your faith?" You think he said, "Where's your faith, guys?" I don't think so. I think he said, "Where's your faith?" In other words, you're going to wake me up over nothing? Didn't I say, hello, before they ever took off, what did Jesus say? "Let us go out in the middle and drown." That's not what he said, right? He said, "Let us go to the other side." Anybody think he had some authority to get there? Sure he did. Amen. And they went to, and they got to their side. See, it wasn't that, you know, they were in trouble. I understand, they're fishermen. They know what they're talking about. They know that, but they weren't in trouble because they were in trouble, but they weren't in trouble. Does that make sense to you? It looked bad in the natural, but you can't sink if Jesus said, "Let us go to the other side." Right. See, just because he said, "Go to the other side," doesn't mean we're not going to have some circumstances. But God expects you to believe, I have authority here. I'm in control here. Amen. His word has authority. I remember years ago, I was talking to a man. He was a good man. He was a head over the, this is years ago when, I don't even know if they, I think they, yeah, they still have the gospel businessmen. But this was in their, they were going big in these days, a lot bigger than they are today. And he said, he was the president, but he didn't know much about, he just got turned on to the things of the word and the spirit. He didn't know much about, you know, how to use authority or what he had or faith or anything. How many of you follow what I'm saying? He got saved. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He was a businessman, and they made him president of the chapter, okay? That's basically what happened. But he told me, he said, you know, he said, I went in this room one day, and this person, they were trying to cast this demon out of this person, and they weren't getting anywhere. He said, I didn't know what to do. He said, I had my Bible in my hand, and I threw it at him. He said, I didn't know what to do. He said, I just threw my Bible at the guy. He said, it hit him in the stomach, and he got delivered. Amen. He's like, how come? I said, well, you threw the whole word of God at him at once. Genesis through Revelation. Brother Schombach talked about, let me remember R.W. Schombach. He was a tent preacher back in the 50s and 60s, 70s, 80s. And went home with the Lord, I think. Somewhere 2000 something. But he said one time, he said, you know, he said, when I was young, I worked for a man by the name of A.A. Allen. I have some of A.A. Allen's old reel-to-reel tapes, you know, the tent meetings, you know, that a pastor, old Pentecostal pastor, gave them to me one time. And he said, I worked for A.A. Allen. He said, this lady came up one night, and we were praying with her to get her delivered, because A.A. Allen, you know, he cast out a lot of demons. And he said, they worked with her and then, you know, sent her on her way, and said, you know, the next night she shows up again. And he said, Brother Allen pulls me aside. He says, you go deal with her, Schombach. I'm not dealing with her tonight. You go take care and get her delivered. I'm busy. I mean, I got a meeting. I'm going to preach a meeting. I'm not going to stand here and fight a devil all night long. You go deal with this, you know. And so Brother Schombach told A.A. Allen, he said, oh, not me. You're the devil caster out around here. And Brother Allen told Brother Schombach, he said, anybody can't cast out devils, doesn't work for me. Okay. So he said, I went back there, and he said, man, I mean, like 2 hours later, I'm still trying to get this devil out of this woman. He said, finally, he said, you know, I did everything. You know how you do everything you think to say and all that, you know. He said, finally, he said, I want to remind you what my elder brother did to you 2,000 years ago. He said, when I said that, the devil said, oh, don't say that. See, the devil knows who has authority. I mean, when Jesus walked in the synagogue, they said, we know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. What are you doing here? They knew who had authority, see. See, when we go, we don't go in our name. We go in his name. We go with his word. Just like that centurion, he didn't go there with his own word. He didn't go there saying what he wanted to say. He said, I'm under authority. I'm telling these soldiers to do something, but it's not my word. I'm under somebody else's authority. They're telling me what to do. See, remember what the Bible said? Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. A lot of people quote that, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But you miss part of it. Submit yourselves to God. Submit to his word. And when you say something, you realize it's not me that has to bring it to pass. It's not me that's responsible. I got this from a higher authority. Hallelujah. It sure helps when you do that. It causes you to have great faith. Amen. Now, you find John chapter 10. Go with me to verse 31. We'll close right here. Verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Again, so this isn't the first time. Here we go again. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him and said, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy. Because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written? Now watch this now. Is it not written? See, they're going to stone Jesus because he said he was the Son of God. That's why they're going to stone him. That's what they're saying. Jesus answered them, verse 34, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? That's a quotation out of Psalm 82. Now, what does it mean? Well, you look up the word gods, it means rulers, ones with authority. See, didn't God in the beginning give man authority? Right? So he's not talking about God, big G. How many know that? How many know God's got a lot of things you don't have? I don't have. Never will have. Right? He's talking about the fact that we have authority. Then verse 36, verse 35. If he called them gods, notice this, unto whom the word of God came. What caused them to have that godlike authority, that rulership? The word of God came to them. Well, whose word is it? I said, whose word is it? Does you think he has some authority? All right, so if we have his word, what does it do for us? It gives us authority. Come on, are you with me now? See, that's what Jesus is saying here. The word of God came unto you, and it gave you some authority. Amen. Remember when you were a kid, maybe you had siblings. I had three, two brothers and a sister. And you didn't get to boss them around much. Unless they were younger than you. But if you could go out and say, Dad said. How many know that? Carried more weight. Dad said. Amen. Now, he said, verse 35, if he called them gods unto whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye him of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, you blaspheme because I said I'm the Son of God. See, what it's being said here is simply this. When we understand authority, we understand the words that if they're God's words, the words that we speak, they're not our words. They're God's words. And when we say what God has said, then that makes all the difference in the world. Now, listen, I'll just tell you, you can do with what I preach today what you want to. You can listen to it, you can take notes on it, but the best thing to do with it is do it. Amen. Realize it. Amen. Or you live with stuff you don't have to live with. See, Paul said this in Romans chapter 5, he said, verse 17, he said, when we receive the gift of righteousness, we can reign in life through Jesus Christ. And that word reign, and a lot of translations will say this because it's really right. That word reign, it means reign as kings. As kings. How do kings reign? By their word. See, that's why you have to say what God said to the circumstances in your life if you want them to change. If you're happy with them, then you can live with them, but they can change. But you have to realize it's not your authority per se, it's God's authority. You just have it because you're in Christ. And as long as you're in Him and remain there, then you're good to go. Amen. It's just like the other morning when I preached about this Wednesday night when I was talking about, aggressively reaping your harvest, how I had the foot issue. You know, and I mean, it had crippled me. I mean, I was seeing visions. You're not going to be at church Wednesday night. You're not going to preach. You can't walk. You better call Pastor Chuck or Pastor Jerry or somebody. Get somebody to preach. And I thought, well, let's just wait till that morning, and that way they don't have much time to get ready. And we'll find out if they really got something or not, right? Like Dr. Barclay did me. He calls me at like after 9 in the morning. You're preaching at 10:30. I was in the shower when he called. I'm thinking, okay, I'm preaching at your conference. So thank God. Hallelujah. Thanks for the advance warning, Pastor. Praise God. Hey, I'll do it. Amen. Why? Well, the general spoke. Amen. And so anyway, you know, but you know, and at first I started to feel sorry for myself. I don't know if you've ever done that before, you know, where you're like, it was so painful. It was so, oh man, it hurt so bad. I'm feeling sorry for myself here. And then I got a hold of it. I thought, well, this isn't working. Feeling sorry for yourself is not changing a thing. I need to do what the Bible says. Now, Phyllis could be my witness. She knows. I mean, she was there that morning. I mean, I was hobbling along. I mean, I just went to my chair and sat. Get up if I had to get up. But I this can't happen. No. This is my foot. This is not the devil's foot. If he wants to tear his foot up, he can, but not mine. And begin releasing what God said over my body. Well, it wasn't totally healed, but by the time she got home, I was walking on it. And I walked in here Wednesday night. I walked in here this morning. Amen. Yeah. And I guarantee you what I had, it doesn't leave overnight. Some people have it for a long, long time. But it was plantar fasciitis. But here's the thing. See, if you speak to things in your life based on whether you think you can pull it off or whether you're spiritual enough, it's just not going to work for you. It's just going to be like the seven sons of Sceva who use the name of Jesus. You may say the right things, but you're not doing it under his authority. You're doing it under your authority. You got to realize he spoke it, so therefore it has to be carried out. Hallelujah, because it came from him. Amen? Did you get something today? Amen. See, that's one of the keys to having great faith is to realize that just like God told Jeremiah, I'm going to put my words in your mouth. I'm going to tell you what to say. And so you go out and you speak it. You speak under my authority, and you can do different things when you do that. He went on to tell me you can root out, pull down, plant, build, throw down. But it's all because of him. It's not because of us. It's not because, you know, we're super spiritual. We got a handle on this faith thing. Come on, that's not it. But if we do get a realization of authority, that what we're saying, it's not based on our authority. We don't have to back it, but it's based on his authority. He has to back it. When you get that revelation that God's backing this, it causes your faith to soar. It just causes it to go up. You know, circumstances may try to come, and you got to remember. I'll close with this. You know, I've told you this story before, but, you know, I know God called me here to start this church years ago. I know he did because I didn't want to. I wasn't even thinking about it. I wasn't even planning on it. I mean, and Chuck and Joanne, Pastor Chuck and Joanne can tell you, we knew one another. They'd heard me say, well, thank God I put my time in, Pastor, and I'll never do that again. Praise God. I'm going to travel around the world. Hallelujah. Preach, man, praise God, love on pastors, but leave. And so, you know, and so they knew that. So I didn't do that on my own authority. But you know, when I came down here and I knew I had authority for him, I knew things had to fall in line. Somebody said, how do you start a church? Well, I don't know. All I know is you get a building because people got to come someplace. You put a sign on it and you name it something. First church of the I don't know what I'm doing. You name it something. You just name it something. You put a sign on, and then you advertise. See, in those days, this was 95, people still read the paper. So we put an ad in the local paper in Newburgh, the Warwick County paper, you know. And you know, with its circulation of, you know, 500 people, whatever. I don't know how many people buy the paper. Maybe probably a lot more than that. But, you know, it was that's all we knew to do. We didn't know anything else to do, you know. I mean, you know, just advertise. And but I do remember some shaky points. I remember looking for a building. We'd hunt and finally found that building that had been vacated by that what were they? They were an engineering company, I think, that was in there. And they used part of this building. It was a whole big building, but they used part of it. There was a donut bakery on the other end. That was really a plus. I remember those days. They had that big window where they'd make their donuts of the night. Remember that? And the, you know, they weren't open, but they had a big window, and you could watch them making the donuts. And our kids, one of them right there on the front row, he's praise and worship, they would go down there and press their noses and look in that window watching those guys make those donuts, and those guys would give them donuts on Wednesday night. Just send them home, and there's another one right there, and just send them home wired as they could be. You know, it's like, here, kids, have some donuts. Your parents are going to love this. But anyway, you know, but here's what I was going to say. I know God let us down. I know God, is as much, as sorry as that building was, I know God got it for us. I mean, we went from $2,200 a month rent down to $805. I know that was God. To drop from $2,200 a month to $800, it had to be God for somebody to do that. And then it needed help. It needed work, which we took care of that. But I just remember when I saw the building, the power wasn't on. I saw it with a flashlight. I didn't see all the things that needed fixed, like, because it was just a flashlight. I'm just walking through it. And so when I finally, you know, get the building, oh, man, this is exciting. Praise God. Got the power turned on, walked in there and thought, what did I just do? All of a sudden, man, faith started draining out of me. It really did. I thought, this was dumb. I got a building. I got to pay for it. It's trashed. It needs a lot of help. But I had to remind myself, I didn't do this on my own. I didn't do this on my own authority. Had it been me, if God had just asked me, do you want to do this? I said, no, I'm fine. I'll stay right where I'm at. I'm happy. But I didn't do this on my authority. See, when it's His authority, you can expect results. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand up. Did you get something today? God's good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to just see, that's the key to great, one of the keys to great faith is realizing, understanding authority. Understanding authority. It doesn't begin with us. It begins with Him. Those scriptures in there, those promises in there, they didn't begin with us. They began with Him. Until we're convinced they began with Him, then we won't really have confidence, and we'll be doing things in our own power. We might say the right things like the sons of Sceva, but it won't come to pass because we're not convinced that it's really from Him. But when we're convinced it's from Him and realize He has authority and what He said, it's got to come to pass. Hallelujah. You think about it, man. Just think about how history has been shaping by the words of God. You go back and read the prophets and some of the prophecies. It's shaping our world history even today because God said it. It may have taken years, but it just keeps getting shaped into. And there's a day coming when the Lord's going to come back. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And He's going to get His church. Amen. Hallelujah. And then after that, praise God, we're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. Amen. Are you with me now? Boy, can't you see Pastor Jerry up there? I mean, he'll be eating off everybody's plate. Amen. Yeah. You know, but when that's done, we're coming back and He's setting up His kingdom on this earth. It's going to happen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.